It's glorious. Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. We will be looking at several scriptures tonight. But we want to start with verse 27. My subject is the glory of Christ in the believer. It says in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. As I meditated upon the subject matter of the message, I was overwhelmed by the thought that the eternal God, all glorious in holiness, resplendent in majesty, would purpose to reveal His glory in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ to a poor, unworthy, unprofitable, filthy, corrupt sinner like me. I am amazed that God delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son, as it says in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. I am amazed that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whose blood I'm forgiven and I'm reconciled to God. Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And then verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled, brought back into the favor of God, someone so unworthy, so unclean, He removed all of the barriers, cleaned me up, and drew me nigh. I am amazed that God would open the eyes of my understanding to reveal the glory and the excellency of the eternal Son of God, who is preeminently exalted above everyone, above everything. It says in verse 16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. How amazing is it that God on high would reach down so low to reveal Himself in Jesus Christ to people who are only worthy of the lake of fire. That's grace, brother. I'm amazed that God would not just reveal these glorious mysteries of grace to me, but that He Himself would dwell in me for time and eternity from the very moment He gave me the new birth. Christ in me, the hope of glory. God has so thoroughly changed my wicked heart my carnal mind, my perverted will, my ungodly way of life. He changed all of that through Jesus Christ. So much so that now my heart's desire is to follow and to fulfill and to have Paul's prayer for the Colossians to be made manifest in my life. Look what he said, how he prayed for them. Verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto the patience and longsuffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Christ in you, the hope of glory, encompasses all these blessed truths and mysteries, and God has been pleased to give them to us by His grace. Now, the first point is how the glory of Christ is communicated to the elect. Well, we know that everything God does, He does according to His eternal purpose. Nothing happens by accident. And so the revelation of the glory of God in Christ and experienced by the believer is something that Jesus prayed about in His high priestly prayer, and He took us back all the way before the world began when He dwelt in the glory of the Father's bosom. He says in verse 22, "And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world." The communication of this glory was planned and purposed by Almighty God in the covenant of grace, when God sat alone in the solitude of eternity. And then through the Spirit's work of regeneration, creating a new nature and new life, and immediately then calling the elect out of darkness to believe the gospel of the grace of God. There has to be life before there is faith. You see, there was a time when I had no desire to view the glory of God in Christ. There was no beauty in Him. I was wretched. I was spending my time digging the miry pit that I found myself in. All I saw was sin and the pleasures of sin. But the Spirit of God, on purpose, brought me out of deadness and translated me and brought me to life, out of darkness into life, out of the kingdom of Satan and darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. This is how the glory of Jesus Christ is communicated, by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we, by His grace, can say what John said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's full of grace, full of truth. And I will never forget the glorious day when God opened the eyes of this blinded sinner, when God brought me to spiritual life and gave me that very moment a desire to know Christ more than anything else in the world. He gave me life, and immediately I wanted Jesus Christ as my Lord. It's amazing. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the glory of God in who? In the face of Jesus Christ. There is no other place where you will behold the glory of God in the sense of salvation except in Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. That's why when the Spirit of God does a work and He opens your eyes, He reveals to you the glory of Christ, who is the Word of God. What is a word? It's communication. The Word, Jesus Christ, communicates God's glory, God's salvation, and it's only in Him. And again, it's according to God's purpose. He said, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Praise God that His purpose in eternity is worked out in time, and everyone that's brought to life immediately believes on Jesus Christ, immediately responds to the gospel of the grace of God, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the only way. This is what God does for us in calling us. But He communicates the glory of Christ by way of intimate communion and fellowship. I'm amazed that God allows me to speak directly to Him. Through the finished work of Jesus Christ and by the authority of His name, that I can go directly into the throne room of grace in time of need. I can commune with God. And it's not confined to a posture, a time, or a place. I can talk to God right from my heart. I can commune with Him while I'm driving in the car, while I'm teaching, while I'm preaching. It's all of life is a work of communion between us and the Almighty. And what does God do in all this fellowship? He changes us. We're not what we were. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God frees us from the power of sin in His work of sanctification to experience this change that is ongoing into the image of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And His good pleasure is to conform us, to mold us, to make us into the image of Jesus Christ. And that process is ongoing. He does it through His Word. He does it through the ministry of the Lord's church, through experience. The Spirit of God is working on us and in us tonight to make us more like the one that we're going to resemble throughout the eternal ages. So this is done on purpose. We have to be given this life in order to be able to commune. All this glory is all traced back to one eternal source. Amen. Almighty God. Amen. Now secondly, how the glory of Christ is manifested in the believer. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The change produced in the new birth, which is literally from death to life, from darkness to light, is so radical, so transformative, that it requires the Spirit of God to dwell in us from that moment on. In fact, the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. It says in verse 10 of the same chapter, Romans 8, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. He is really emphasizing something here. That the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, dwells in His people to change us. Therefore, brethren, on account of that, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. The old way of life, the old nature, the wickedness of the way that we once were, we're not slaves to that old nature any longer. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's how they're manifested. Is if you demonstrate in your life that the Spirit of God dwells in you and leads you, directs you, empowers you, energizes you, leads you, guides you, strengthens you, comforts you. All to the glory of Jesus Christ. as the Spirit of God leads us to abide in Christ, to walk with Christ, working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, sanctifying fruit is produced, conforming us to the image of the One who is altogether lovely. If you have never been changed, you've never been saved. If you're not being changed, you need to really question whether or not you're saved. Because this is a work that is ongoing. And I believe every true child of God brings forth some measure of fruit because the Spirit of God dwells in us. Jesus talked about being fruitful in John chapter 15, and it's our union with Him. He said, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." And the Spirit's work is always to point to Christ. Our lives begin to demonstrate Christ in us, the hope of glory, the glory of His light shines through the fruit that He produces in us. The fruit of the Spirit is amazing. It's a divine cluster that the Spirit of God develops in God's children. And it's so profound, so simple, the language that He uses when He describes this fruit. What is fruit? It's just it's the produce, the work of the Spirit of God in you, making you more like Jesus Christ. And every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit reflects the glory of Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, when the Spirit of God works in you, conforming you to Jesus Christ, you want to crucify your old fleshly passions and desires. Put them to death, so that you might walk in newness of life every day. I mean, that's the vow that's symbolized in our baptism. We're raised to walk in the newness of life, and that should be demonstrated every day by every believer. The glory of Christ is manifested through obedience to His Word and love for Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. Sometimes I think that we look at a subject like this and we think of something that's mystical. And it's very practical. It's about doing what God says and loving Him and honoring Him and respecting Him. Demonstrating that by way of cheerful obedience. Doesn't it thrill your hearts when your kids or your grandkids, when you give them a command and they just do it? And they may even put a little bit of effort into it. Yeah. Now, that's happened on occasion. Boy, cheers my heart. But how many times have you told them to do something, they go, right now? That's when my arms start shaking a little bit. I get a little twitch. But you know, we ought to obey the Lord because we love Him. Because we recognize that everything He tells us to do is for His glory, His honor, and for our good. I believe that this glory of Christ in us is manifest as we serve the Lord in and through His New Testament church. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. What a wonderful, glorious privilege to be a member of the Lord's church that He established, that He promised perpetuity to, that He gave the Great Commission to. We bring glory to His name when we faithfully serve and honor Him through His church. I believe that we demonstrate that glory, and it's manifested through the preaching of the gospel of grace. I wouldn't give 2 cents for a Baptist who won't witness, for a preacher who won't preach, who won't talk to people where they are about their soul, about their need for Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle knew some of the most profound depths of the glory of God. And he said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Our responsibility as believers is to manifest the glory of Jesus Christ from day to day. Not just behind a pulpit, but everywhere we go, everywhere we are. The Bible says this in Psalm 96:2, sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation every Sunday. Doesn't say that. It says from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. You say, but Brother Ross, I'm not a missionary. I can't go to Africa or to Thailand where the heathen are. Well, there's a Walmart not far from here. There's plenty of heathen there. The fact of the matter is, everybody without Jesus Christ is a heathen in need of the Savior. And we're to declare His glory, for the Lord is great. And greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Oh, that tonight the glory of Christ in us, that it would be manifested through us. And this also takes place when you're called to go through various trials, sickness, hardship. You demonstrate the glory of God, that He's upholding you. It's why Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. One of the best sermons I ever heard was by Brother Chris preaching out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've stolen his outline many, many times and never have given him credit for it. But it says this: for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our affliction, the weight of it, it's light in comparison to what we deserve. And it's momentary. It's only for a season. This too shall pass. That's the length of our affliction. But it says it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And when you're able to trust God through every trial and every difficulty, it displays God's glory working in you. And it has a profound impact upon people when you trust the Lord in all your ways. Now lastly, and when I say lastly, I mean it. I'm not like some of these preachers. You know, I got a nickname for preachers like Donnie Burford. You know, they tell you this is my last point, and then they do 10 more points, and you're finally thinking, man, is this guy ever going to get done? I call them Pharaohs because they won't let the people go. Now, I'm going to let you go after this last point. How the glory of Christ will be fully realized in the believer. The work started in regeneration and that's carried on in progressive sanctification will be fully realized and completed in glorification. And this is something that is so beyond me. I've never lived a day without a carnal nature. I've never spent a moment without any sin. But this is God's purpose from all eternity. And He speaks as if it's a work already done in His mind. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Think about this. This eternal purpose was so that we would one day be conformed to the image of His Son, the fairest jewel of heaven, the Word of God, the desire of the nations, the righteous branch, the Holy One of Israel, that He might be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now unto Him who is able to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. One day this vile body shall be fashioned like unto His glorious body. All sin, sorrow, disappointment, bitterness, grief, all forever put away, so that I can bask and see the glory of the One who loved me and gave Himself for me. As the eternal ages roll, that will be the honor of every child of God, to see Him as He is and be like Him.